Hello and welcome to episode number 60 of Investing from the Beach. I'm your host. I'm Chris Hansen. I've got my co-host with me today, Mr. Chris Lamb.
Hey guys, it's Chris Lamb here.
If you're new to the show, I apologize. We're laughing. We're doing a mic test. I have Chris talk for a little bit to be sure that his volume is good. By the way, if you're new, we live about 30 miles apart and we do this. We tend to do this late at night. So a lot of times we do this because this might be being recorded at midnight or 2 a.m. when we both are available. And I just have Chris go through and just say the alphabet. And yeah. I adjust the levels right. Well, he just did the alphabet. A, B, C, D, and Q, R, S, T, V, U, X, W.
Yeah. And it's not because it's late at night either.
No. So he had just finished that. I thought, let's just record while we're both laughing about it. So if it's your first time listening to the show, we're both fairly intelligent, although we both are known for doing stupid things. Sometimes our tongue just gets twisted up, so it always makes it kind of enjoyable. But we both, we met when we were working at IBM. We both hit time freedom via the stock market. There's a big difference between time freedom and financial freedom. Big difference is one type of freedom doesn't take much time, and the other one, financial freedom, while it may free you from your current job, what you'll find in doing that is a lot of times your time is replaced chasing that new gig. Whether you're being a blogger and making a lot of money doing that, you still got to work to be the blogger. If you develop a real estate empire and you've got a boatload of doors and rentals, you've still got to manage the properties and or manage the managers. And so what we figured out how to do, and we're very fortunate and lucky in doing that, we figured out how to get the stock market working for us. It's not about index fund investing. We're actually, I guess, reasonably active traders, you could call it, investors. We do move our money around with some degree of regularity, whatever that means. And we figured out how to provide a very, very comfortable living.
It's not a set it, forget it, but it's also not a daily thing where you're always trading either.
No, not at all. Yeah. And so we met when we were at IBM. We both worked in sales. Neither one of us had a finance background. We didn't work on Wall Street, but we both figured out how to get money working for us. I'm about almost 20 years older than Chris, and about the time that I was looking for the exit sign to leave IBM, Chris was coming in the door trying to find a place in the parking lot where he could actually end up working there. We overlapped by a couple of years. Figured out pretty early on via, we shared a secretary who worked for the group that we were in, and he had an interest in the stock market. She pointed him over to me, and I was about two steps ahead of him in my learning process, maybe not even that much, but he saw that I was able to walk away from the job, and a couple years later, he's much smarter than I am, he was able to do it too. I walked away when I was about 40, Chris walked away when he was about 30. Somebody came up to us maybe in the last couple of years who's a YouTube producer, podcast producer, who sat through, we teach a class, I don't talk about it much at all, but there's a class that I teach on how to learn to do this. And he had attended the class and said, wow, you guys have got this incredibly powerful and unique message. You really should do a podcast. And I didn't know what the hell a podcast was. So 2 years later, here we are. We're now on episode number 60.
Yeah, when you say YouTube producer and podcast producer, I would be like, what the heck's that?
Exactly. And that's, I was hanging with him the last couple of weeks. I still don't know quite what he does, but he's a great guy. Very, very good guy. Also, if you're brand new to the show, my suggestion would be listen to this episode, see if it grabs you. You may or not like our sense of humor. Some of the stuff that we laugh at, you won't find funny. That's okay. But see if it grabs you, see if the message makes sense. And if it does, my suggestion is don't randomly flip around to various episodes and try and see what it's all about. Go back to episode number one and listen to the intro and go through the first 7-8 episodes. And what we found in reaching time freedom is that the bulk of people spend the bulk of their time trying to pursue the how to do. And the how to do, which is the rules, the mechanics, the cookbook, whatever you want to call it, the how to do is maybe 5% of what it takes to get to freedom. The big elephant in the room that nobody will speak to and everyone's afraid of or won't address is the how to think. And that's about 95% of this. At the first, I think it's 8 episodes of the podcast, we address the how to think and set the foundation for you. So if it's your first time listening, obviously listen to the show, see if the message grabs you a little bit, if you like our personalities or the way that we explain things. But then go back and start off and listen to the first ballpark 8 episodes. once you've got that kind of the foundation for the how to think, then you've got another 50 some odd episodes that you can flip around and see which one seems to grab you. I've got a lot of people that just power through them, get some great comments on people that say they binge listen, I guess is the right way to say it. And they get a lot of value out of that. But however you want to do it, but at least start with the first 7 or 8. All right, how's that for a new intro there, Obi-Wan?
Oh, yeah, they have a hard time, you know, living life when they don't listen to these episodes.
That's true. That's true. They're without patting each other on the wall. I won't pat me on the back. I'll give you a lot of credit. There is a hell of a lot of wisdom in these in the podcasts. And not saying either one of us is genius or brilliant, but to me, I wish I would have had something like this when I was learning to find the path to time freedom. I look back on it now and go, my gosh, it's incredibly easy when somebody tells you what to do. I see a lot of blogs or podcasts out there and people are saying, hey, I'm starting my journey. Why don't you follow along? And I look at that and I think, dude, why would I want to follow the, I don't want the blind. It's truly the blind leading the blind. Yeah. I want someone that knows that it's been there and can tell me where the obstacles and landmines are in the path and what to expect along the way. So, but for those of you who've been listening a long time, a very different intro. By the way, if you have thoughts or comments for us on either on this show or on upcoming episodes, something you'd like to hear us talk about, you can reach us a couple of ways. Emails are at investingfromthebeach@gmail.com. You can go to a website, investingfromthebeach.com. There's a contact page. You can reach us there if you'd like. There's also a number of tabs that you can click around. There's a reading list. There's a link to that stock class that I mentioned that, you know, in 60 episodes, Chris, I don't know that I've ever mentioned it before.
So we don't think you did, yeah.
But that's there. And if you'd rather reach us on the phone, leave us a voicemail. Easy number to remember. Imagine us wherever you are in the world, you can get on a 747 airplane. And in 24 hours, you can be at any beach in the world. And that's our phone number, 747-24-BEACH. Easy thing to remember. If you need the numbers on that, it's 747-242-3224. Today's episode, or tonight's, or this morning's episode, I guess, by the time that we're recording this thing, is I keep hearing more and more about FIRE, financially independent and retire early. And I think that has always bothered me. I like the acronym that's easy to remember, but I don't like the words that make up the acronym. And I came up with something that's a little bit different. And it's focus on investments, reduce expenses, and that gets you to retire early. So fire leads to fire, I guess, is the way to say it. That's probably what I'll title this at. But the idea on this is, and by the way, we're on Facebook too. I forgot to mention that. If you want to go find us, there is a Facebook page now for Investing from the Beach, which means there's going to be ice cubes in hell because I am the last guy to be on social media. So hell is definitely freezing over.
Yeah, I think Facebook stock has topped
because of that. Because there is nobody left. I'm the last that was not on Facebook. I have actually gone on Facebook. But there is a Facebook page. You can go over there and, you know, do what you want to do there. That probably is a good message, too. The social media craze on Facebook has probably topped because I think I was the very last guy that didn't have
it. I think if you went back in earlier episodes, there was a episode I mentioned that, you know, I think Apple stock has topped because my aunt in Vietnam finally bought an iPhone.
See?
Yeah, and it did. For that. Yeah, see?
Which also tells us the stock market probably has not topped because I'm not hearing about it from complete strangers in line at the grocery store.
Well, let me tell you that. It's getting close, though. But top doesn't mean, okay, we're just going to go straight down. Just, you know, we're kind of taking a break in the cycle.
Chop around a little bit.
Yeah, and I tell you why, because I think I mentioned about my friend, buddy. He might be listening to this. College buddy, 20 years ago. I haven't talked to him actually for almost 20 years. And he reached out to me, and, you know, he found us actually on the podcast. And in fact, I think he's ordered your online course or your home study course.
Okay.
And, you know, when I spoke with him, I said, I realize, you know, he started investing in the stock market in the year 2000, right? 2000. Yep. So right when the market peaked.
Yep.
Exactly. And then I realized he and his brother bought a home in 2007.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Right at the top.
Yep. And now they're going back into the stock market.
Yep.
I said, based on your track record, I think we're getting close to the top again in the stock market. Right?
Wow.
So, yeah.
I was at a beach barbecue bonfire earlier today, down in Huntington Beach. If you're in the LA area, they've got fire pits out there. And a group of friends were out there, and one of the dads came up and he said, "Hey, we got to talk. We got to talk. What do you think the market's going to do?" And I said, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, they said it's going to do this." I said, "Who's they?" He goes, "Well, you know, they said." I said, "Okay." I said, "How have you done in the past?" He goes, "Well, you know, I got to do better. And I said, "Did you listen to them before?" "Yeah." And he looked at me and started to laugh. He goes, "Yeah, maybe I should listen to new thems." I said, "No, don't listen to any of them. Figure it out on your own." Yeah. "You got to do that." And then he walked away. So it is always interesting. But
so it might be getting close. He has some interest.
Exactly. No, close. To, don't take that to mean we're going to drop tomorrow or next week.
Exactly. Right?
But, you know, you start when you see the totally uninformed start and ask about it and get excited about it because they hear we're hitting new highs. Now, at that point, that goes on for another couple of years, maybe, or whatever the time frame is on that. And then you get everybody in. There's nobody left to buy. One little hint of bad news, and there we go. Mm-hmm. And then it's a rush of rats trying to leave the burning house.
Yeah.
And that has happened many, many times in history, and it'll happen again in the future. Yeah. And when it does happen, go back and listen to this episode and go, "Oh, that's what those guys were talking about." And you have to usually see it like three times before it sinks in and you start to recognize it. The first one you won't recognize. The second one you go, "Oh, this is what they were talking about. Oh, there it went."
Yep.
And then about the third time, either you get it or you get really mad because you know what's coming, but you don't react. And then the fourth one you get.
Yeah, the third one, you don't trust it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you'll be 60.
Yep, exactly. That's how you get gray hair. And that's pretty much how the cycle works. So, and I was joking, you know, we're both named Chris. One of us is smart and good looking, and the other one is good looking. You got to decide which one is which. And you know that he's 20 years younger, and he's got that kind of wisdom. So that makes me the really good looking one. That makes you the smart one. So let's see. All right, enough of the BS in here. Financially independent, retire early. Change that. Focus on investments, reduce expenses, gets you to be able to retire early. And retire early doesn't necessarily mean that you go sit on the porch and drink iced tea and stare at the sun setting. It means that you go do what you want to do, chasing your purpose. We talk about purpose in one of the earlier episodes, and it may take you a while to figure out what that purpose is, and that's fine. One of the things that you and I have both seen with people that are near and dear to us in our own, you know, in our business circle, if you will, our social circle, and just running into people, hearing about things, there appears to be, it's not anything new, but there, I hear more and more where you get the millennials that are unhappy in their job. And that seems to be a lot of where this fire movement is coming from. The millennial, I don't like my jobs. Like, gosh, I went to college, I got this big student loan debt, and now I'm stuck in a cubicle, and I realize I did not sign up to do this for the next 35 years. Hell no. Mm-hmm. How do I get out? And they realize that they need to reduce expenses, and so they look at doing that, doing whatever they can. They get some kind of a side gig to bring in some extra dollars, and then hopefully with that new reduced expense load, now if they want to go do something that doesn't pay as much but is rewarding, you know, emotionally or satisfying, whatever the right word is, they can go do that, which is great. But most people don't want to live forever on a reduced expense load. And so I think there's a misnomer or a wrong way of thinking in that.
Yeah, I think if you talk to people about the FIRE movement, most people, maybe 40 and plus, 40 and over, it's probably still a new term to them. But for the millennials, it's actually very common, right? And I think it's because most of the millennials are, you know, they're kind of always online. They're always playing video games, and they're distracted with, or not distracted, but really
instant gratification.
Instant gratification, really, right? Everything's got to be fast, fast, fast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when they don't realize when you go to work or work for somebody that it's going to take a while to get good in that job and take a while to move up, or whatever they do, it's going to take a while to see success in it. And so that instant gratification expectation you know, it's not real. And then it hits them, you know, hard, right? And also, I think that message that we're always being told, I mean, when I was younger, I didn't hear it as much, but I bet kids nowadays hear it all the time, is go find, you know, something you love to do, you know, and do it for a job, right? You know, that's like your dream or something, right? And so they're always out there finding something that they thought they, you know, they love, and then you go and do it, you don't really like it.
And or it's a job. It doesn't pay worth a damn.
Yeah, yeah. And how can, you know, let's say if you really like it and it doesn't pay, it's like you have this other stress, and then all of a sudden that job is not so fulfilling any, you know.
Correct.
Because you're not being able to pay the bills. So then they find that they run into this wall and find out the frustration of not being able to either handle the money or being able to handle the work in what they're doing in their professional life.
So I see it a couple ways. So on the handle the work, I've run into people many, many times over the years. Years ago, I did an MBA, did it at night while I was working. And in talking with some of my classmates who were also full-time employees that were doing an evening program, and mixed in there, you would have full-time students. So they would stick around and take a class at night and sit and chat on, you know, on a break or go get a beer before or after class and chat about whatever. The ones who were looking to graduate and then go back out in the workforce, you know, hear the plan like, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'll graduate and I'm going to go work for, you know, one of the three or four big consulting firms, and I'll get paid this much money to start, and I'll work there for a year or two, and I'll get the manager stripe, and then I'll work my way up the chain, and I'll get a, you know, a director level and a partner or whatever the path is, and I'll get there quick, and say, you know, that sounds cool. What do you think about the person that got the MBA 2 years before you? So when you walk in, they're 2 years ahead of you on the path. And they may not have been the star performer that got promoted, you know, right out of the gate. You know, they're a strong performer, but they weren't the queen of the ball. And, or, you know, they weren't the leading person, if you will. And, but they're still top performer. You'd want them on your team. And you're going to tell me that you're going to promote faster than them? They're going to want it just as bad as you do, and they've got more experience than you do. And that's someone who graduated 2 years ago, but then you got someone who even graduated 1 year before you, and they get the same trap. And so you got to realize that it's a very competitive environment, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's not to be discouraging, but just to understand there are people that are 1 year ahead of you, 2 years ahead of you, 3 years ahead of you, that have the same exact plan. And they're waiting for a spot to open up on the ladder so that they can climb up. And I point out to tons of people and said, maybe you ought to not worry about climbing somebody else's ladder. Don't even climb a damn ladder. Mm-hmm. Focus on the investments. So yeah. You don't have to worry about the ladder. And then go create your own ladder if that's what you want to do, or go find something that's your purpose. And if you love working in a consulting field or whatever business you're in, doesn't matter, then you go do that. But now you're doing it for the love of the work and the satisfaction from that, whatever that may be, as opposed to trying to climb, you know, doing it so you can get the promotion and the prestige and the money and whatever else floats your boat.
Yeah. And that plan you talk about, it's, you know, whose plan is that?
Yes.
Where did they come up with that? You know, did somebody ahead of you share with you that, man, this is the path you want to walk?
Yep.
You know,
the answer is yes. That is where you heard about it, right?
Maybe they just thought about it. Actually, I don't know if that's somebody who told them that, because I think when I was interning at IBM, I didn't get a lot of people, you know, being at IBM 20, 30 years and say, hey, Chris, this is what you want to do. Do what I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They didn't. They saw me and they said, hey, Chris, go enjoy yourself. Go do all these things. Go explore. Don't get locked up in, you know, they were confused because they weren't happy with their,
yeah,
you know, 20, 30 years tenure at IBM, right? Best. And so that made me, I thought about it. I'm like, whoa, you know, these guys have, you know, are doing what I thought I want to do, you know, maybe. But they're not happy about it. So there's something in it that they're telling me, don't follow this path.
Yeah, jail with a door.
Right. And, you know, if I wasn't an executive or something at IBM, they wouldn't tell me. But, you know, I'm an intern there, and they tell me with their heart. Mm-hmm. And you tell, they're speaking the truth. And so I think we as young individuals, or as we're, you know, early in our career trying to pursue whatever it is, we think it's what we want because we just kind of assumed. But we didn't go and do a research and go talk to the people that have walked the path. Mm-hmm. Say, is that really what you want? You know, are they happy in their life?
It's also one of those, you know, if you talk to someone that somebody who's an exec at a consulting firm or at an IBM or whatever employer it is, that person may give you the answer from their perspective, right? Because they worked their way up the chain, up the ladder. It's what they wanted to do. And they're going to give you a different perspective than the person that didn't bust their butt for 10, 15, 20 years to get higher up the ladder. In fact, they may not. Well, I guess you and I would be examples of one. You know, you've been out for 10 years now. Right. You worked there for 10, you left, and you've been out of there for 10, approximately. Right. I worked there for almost 20 or 18. I've been out for almost 18 now. And so you hear that and you think, but somebody at IBM would never find me to go ask. Right. Because I'm gone.
Yeah. It's hard to find someone like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, if you're a brand new person at IBM, like, oh, how do I leave in 10 years?
Yeah.
They don't know who you are unless they happen to stumble on the podcast. That's what you should do, Chris. Go to the IBM office, get a bunch of business cards that say investing from the beach, and put them on all the cards. And on the back say, if you'll call me, I'll tell you how you don't have to be here in 10 years. Tune in.
Yeah. But they're so brainwashed already.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. They've been doing it for so long. I just got to stick in maybe another five. Well, shit, most of them are in their 50s now and, you know, 60s.
Yep.
Yeah. I remember seeing something. I get some, I check my junk mail. Sometimes I get things from LinkedIn saying, hey, you should congratulate so-and-so. And I kind of look at them like, oh, they're celebrating their 30-year anniversary or 35 years or something.
Wow.
Like, whoa.
What year are we? This is 2019.
See?
84. I would have had 35 years.
See?
Wow. Because I started, 35 years about a week ago. Because I started at the end of July.
Yeah.
Wow.
We throw a little party for you, man.
Cool. You're going to buy lunch next time we have lunch. This would be my, what would have been close to a retirement party.
Yeah.
20 years later.
Yeah. We'll throw you a party when you've retired longer than you worked.
That's coming up. That's actually coming up quick. We'll do that. Let's see. So the millennial, you get the idea of they hate their job, got to go do something different. But that's not a millennial. And you say, well, is that a generational thing? That happened in my generation, right? I don't even know my generation. I guess I was at the very tail end of the baby boomer. And it happened in your generation as well, right? So it's not anything that is unique to this age demographic. It's always been that way. People step into the workforce like, oh, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It just seems that they're, I think, stepping out more. I think we're hearing about it more maybe because of the internet. And also they're able to do it more because of the internet.
Well, it's more so is because you see, you see so many younger people in the technology field and you know, all the dot-coms and all the startups, right, with the stock options, they're getting rich fast. So these guys are like kind of shooting and aiming for that.
Yes.
And then they go in, they're like, what? I'm not seeing that. And so they get frustrated where they're not earning enough and not seeing that growth. Also, I think back then, a lot of companies have pensions. So at least you're, you know, even though you didn't like your job, you're willing to deal with it.
Yes. Yeah, you put up
with it. Here, they don't have any pensions, no senior, nothing that is building for them to stay.
Yep.
Right? And so they're always jumping around. And I think like in that one article, I think the therapist said there's a lot of, you know, they're on social media and there's this fake reality, you know, seeing all these people take vacations and all saying all these great things about their work and job. So they feel like, man, my life is not as good. Maybe I should do something different. I'm not happy with myself.
Correct.
Yeah. So I think it has a lot to do with that.
Yeah. So the internet is the nice thing about the internet. You can, like, you think about it, we've got a, not that this podcast is a business. In fact, it's not a business, right? We don't generate any revenue off this at all. This has got a cost, and it takes our time. We got to do a little recording, so it's not a ton of time, but there is no,
but it produces a lot of value for our listeners.
Exactly. But there's no, you don't get a paycheck from the podcast. I don't get a paycheck from the podcast. You'll notice if you're a first time listener, we don't have any sponsors. There's no, you're not going to hear any advertisements on this at all. So that we're not doing this for the dollars. It truly is a, if I could, when I would say this, if looking back, what would have got me to freedom faster if I'd have had this or known that? And this is one of those things that would have been awesome. It would have made such a huge difference and made it a lot easier. So all we're doing is we're throwing out some stuff that we know would be helpful for people. If they choose to take it and act upon it, awesome. And if they don't, no problem.
Yeah, and I don't listen to many podcasts.
Do you listen to any other? Do you listen to any?
Not really. Or not, no.
Yes, yeah. I only listen to ones that might have a specific, like I listen to Goggins on a few of them, but I don't listen to every Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah, but I haven't had anyone come up and say that, you know, somebody's telling us the same message.
Yes.
You know, that we're kind of telling people here.
No, yeah.
So I think this message is important. So that's why we're putting it out. If somebody already did it, cool. You know, listen to these guys.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So, and also we do it too, because it'd be, you know, you have a toddler, right? I get a kid that's in his teens. And at some point, your toddler will grow up. Mm-hmm. And there's wisdom that is in dad that she's going to want to hear. And so it's cool to have a recording of that wisdom. And the same thing for my kid, right? At some point, he's going to want to hear more of what dad has to say. And he'll realize that the wisdom is there. And he'll go back and listen to it. Not that he doesn't now, but you get more mature, it makes more sense.
Oh, yeah. So then at least he can listen back. Go, oh, yeah, my dad was young. Yeah.
Wow, I don't hear the diapers ripping off like it is now.
Yeah, yeah.
That Velcro noise all the time. So, back on the fire equals fire, or fire gets you to fire. So focus on investments gets you to retire early. Reduce expenses gets you to retire early. The reason people have expenses, you know, one of the things you got to watch out for, most common you'll see is you get credit card debt piling up or even student loans piling up. But let's talk about the credit card side of it. If you get your credit card debt high, you're letting it pile up, unless you had a big surprise medical expense, almost always credit card debt is the result of entertainment.
Yeah, it's really not necessity.
About it. Yeah, you say, well, I had a big car repair bill come up. Okay, there's a couple of exceptions, but it's not, it's very, very rarely is it a necessity. Like, oh, I needed to buy new furniture for the house. Like, really?
Not a necessity.
No, exactly.
Say, so, what was the furniture before? You didn't have any?
Mm-hmm. Or say it broke. Well, go find a used one somewhere. Right?
Yeah, or someone, you know, plenty of people giving stuff away. They just don't.
It. Yeah. And it may be ugly and it may deal with it. Mm-hmm. Right? Go get it cleaned. You know, get it reupholstered for cheap. There's all kinds of different ways you can do to save a buck and help reduce the expenses or help not let the credit card debt pile up. Oh, I've got, you know, I'd go to lunch with friends. I go to dinner with friends who went out for drinks. Or I got a bonus at work, so I went on a trip and it cost me a little bit more than the bonus one, so I put on the credit card. That's entertainment. Right? And you got to look at it and say, what is more important to you? Is it more important to get the goal of time freedom? Or is it more important to get the short-term fix of, you know, the short-term gratification and then have to go back?
I'm not going to have any pictures to put on my Facebook page.
Exactly. So, but there's plenty of stuff out there. You could Photoshop your face into some guy in Jamaica. Like, wow, Chris Hansen, you got really muscular. Man, look at that. And wow, are you tan?
Someone should do that for a joke, you know. Put on their Facebook page, look where I travel to.
Yeah. I don't think I ever showed you the picture. Just a side note that is totally irrelevant for someone who is a brand new listener. Way back before triathlons were popular, I was doing triathlons back in the late 80s, early 90s. And mm-hmm. I've got a picture that we did one at Huntington Beach Pier. We had to swim around mm-hmm. the pier and do something. It was like a half mile swim. Part of it was around the pier. And there's a shot of me, you know, the photographer, and they sell the pictures, whatever. And I happen to get one. I didn't buy it, but just got the shot of it. And, you know, I'm in there in my trunks and I had a mustache at the time. I'm ready to go running in the water. And if you look at my physique, you're like, damn, that guy was jacked. And I've got some massive biceps and triceps. And if you look really closely, the one arm, there's a guy in front of me, and his calf is positioned perfectly next to my arm. And his calf muscle looks like my tricep. And I look like Hulk Hogan on one arm. It is, and it's so natural. It's like the coolest thing. My other arm looks skinny. But so, yeah, I was, I only lifted weights on one side. Side note, this guy, I may even cut that out, but just for, I'll have to show you that picture. I'll take a picture. I think my folks have it on there somewhere in the house. I'll take a shot.
Oh, I thought you purposely Photoshopped something.
Oh, no. It looks like it was Photoshopped on there. You realize it's some guy's leg. This position, it looked like it's my arm. It's pretty funny. So let's see what else. So for the credit cards, do what you got to do to, one, don't get in more credit card debt. And if it means you got to use a milk crate that you grab at the grocery store as a cocktail table or as a nightstand, do it. Right? Get to the point where you're at freedom and you focus on your investing, your money is making money, and then you bump your lifestyle. It may be a sacrifice. I promise you, freedom is absolutely worth it. You know, people will laugh at you when you're going through it and living like a miser. I used to get all kinds of nasty comments from me from people at IBM, like, "Wow, you live really lean," almost mocking me about it. And what's interesting, they're still working there.
Yeah.
And so I don't. Did you used to, when you were working, because you lived pretty lean as well? Did you get grief from people about it?
No, I not too much, no. Mm-mm. Maybe they gave me grief in their head, but didn't tell me.
Got it. So you had better friends than I did.
Yeah.
They were nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think also it has to do with, why that happened is it's a confidence thing when people, they spend a lot. Mm-hmm. Is because, they're not confident about, how people see them. Right. So if you got to have a brand new car, or you got to have the best home or the best of something, what you wear or whatever it is.
Yep.
It's because you're not confident about what you're trying to do.
Correct.
If you are, it shouldn't bother you. And that's why it's so tough for people to resist from, getting that new car or getting that, new toy or whatever it is. Right. Because they're seeing others, do that. It's like, oh, I got to have that. I got to. Right. It's a confidence thing. You just have to look at, what's more important. Is it more important to, work your butt off now and work for forever?
To impress people that you don't really care about.
Exactly. Right. And complaining about your job, how's that more important? So to me is it's okay. Live below that paycheck. Right. And what's cool is people get out, you'll find it doesn't take that long, and then you realize whoever's 10 years ahead of you in their working career, and they have just a fraction of what you have in your bank account.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yep. You got it. There was I don't think I told this couple. We were on a trip a couple weeks ago, and on the way back we took an Uber from LAX back to the house, and late Sunday night or whatever, it was late at night. Got in the car and I'm just talking to the Uber driver, and he said, "So, been a busy day. What's going on? And, are we bringing you back towards the house?" And he looked where we're going. He said, "Oh, this is perfect." He goes, "I live literally right around the corner from where we're going." And I kind of looked down. I said, "You live in?" I gave the city, and he said, "Yep." And I kind of looked, and he said, "Yeah, I don't see many people from there. This is really convenient." And I said, "What do you, you do this part-time, what's your story?" And well, he had owned a small car dealership, and he said he sold it about a year and a half ago, and he was getting kind of bored, so he just did this for free time when his wife was busy. He said it was late 60s, early 70s. He said, "I do it just to kind of get out and make a few extra bucks and just kind of a social thing." He said, "I've met some really interesting people doing this." And I said, "Tell me about the car dealership. Was it a big thing, small?" And he said, no, just small little independent over... located over by Disneyland. He said, "Are the customers in that type of thing, were you dealing in high-end cars or low-end, like, third-generation cars?" He said, "No." He said, "I bought, the cars that I sold were all used." And he said, "I either did Mercedes or Lexus. That's all I touched." He goes, "Occasionally a Jaguar." And he was a Filipino guy. And he said, "All my clients were Filipino." And he said, "Almost all of them were in the medical field. There were nurses, doctors." He said, "I had a few lawyers, a few engineers." He said, every one of them ran into financial problems. It's like, every one of them? He said, every one of them. He said, well, did they run a financial, or I said, are they dealing with you because of their financial problems? He said, exactly. He said, but he said, it was really, he said, it's kind of sad. He said, but I made a good living at it. He said, the reason they would buy from me is because their credit stunk and because they had huge credit card debt. And so I would charge very high interest rates because they were risky. He said, they're very highly paid, but they're way overloaded on debt. And they were, he said, honestly, he goes, and he goes, I see it in my community a lot. So it's not unfair for me to say this. He said, it's showing outward wealth. He said, you know, they'd have the car for a few years, and then if something went wrong, they couldn't afford to pay it, and I'd end up getting it back. I said, oh, interesting. And so I don't know if that's a cultural, I'm assuming it's a cultural statement, who knows, but the big concern on outward appearances.
Yeah, I guess it's your community, who you hang out with, who you're around.
Yep. It was very, very interesting. And my wife is from the Philippines, and thankfully she doesn't have that in her heritage, or in her, what do you call it, in her way of thinking. Which I guess is kind of makes sense, because if she did, she wouldn't be my wife.
She doesn't speak the language, man.
She doesn't speak that kind of language. Yeah. Her English is better than mine.
Yeah,
and she and she knows her alphabet, unlike one of us.
Yeah, yeah. I have to sing my alphabets now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The other thing on the reducing expenses, I'll hear people talk about that they're not sure of how they build up an emergency fund, or kind of like a, you know, rainy day fund for the surprise big expenses that might come up. This will go against what you may hear from a financial planner. I'm more of the opinion, you know, you keep some money in your checking account, but I'm of the opinion, if you've got credit card debt, pay the thing off and don't worry about an emergency fund. Because if something were to crop up, worse comes to worse, you go tap into your credit card and just, you know, bury it out, or tap into that if you need to. But after you get out of the credit card debt, and now you're piling the money into the bank and then into investments, that to me becomes kind of your rainy day fund. Because if something goes wrong, you just sell something, you know, sell some stuff in the stock market and use that to pay for the surprise expense. Do you keep a rainy day fund or an emergency fund that you would call that?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I haven't thought about it in, for so long. I guess it's, yeah, I guess you when you're starting out, you think about that. But no, I think that's the long term wealth stuff.
Yeah. Well, but you keep a balance in your checking account.
Right? Oh yes.
Yeah. You don't drain the checking account every month and then have to replenish.
Oh no. I never have to worry about, you know what? Oh my, do I have enough in the checking account to pay for something?
Exactly.
And it's so always there's always a cushion. Yeah.
Yep. So I do that too. So I guess on the one hand, you could call that a rainy day fund, an emergency fund. But I don't view it that way. I just view it as, hey, I've got, you know, some number of months in the checking account of living expenses. So if my living expenses are $1,000 a month, if I've got 10 grand in the account, I can live for 10 months. And at some point along the way, I just replenish it.
Yeah, and it makes no sense to have that credit card debt and an emergency fund. That, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just pay it off.
Yep.
And whatever you have left over, okay, that becomes your emergency fund. Or if you don't have any, that's fine. Your credit card becomes your emergency fund.
Exactly, if something goes wrong. But that way it saves you paying 20% while you're trying to chip away at it. When you've got money sitting in your quote-unquote emergency fund that's paying you zero.
Mm-hmm.
So people will say, oh, I need to have an emergency fund, a rainy day fund. It's like, get your credit card debt paid off. Right? Yeah. Remember, it's all about reducing expenses. Reduce the expense, reduce the expense, reduce the expense, and focus on the investments, right? And if you get there, I promise you, from someone who got to time freedom at 40 and someone who got there at 30, if you'll think of it that way, you'll get there. It goes again, it flies in the face of what you may hear from a financial advisor. But keep in mind, your financial advisor has a job. Chris and I, you know, I guess here's what we should do, our disclaimer. Everything that we say on this show is a bunch of crap. Neither one of us knows what we're talking about. We have no idea what we're doing because we're unemployed. We have no license. In order to have a license, you have to be employed. Since, like we said, Chris has been unemployed for 10 years. I've been unemployed for almost, 18, 20, whatever it's been. So clearly we are not qualified at all to talk about this. So what we just said about an emergency fund is a bunch of crap. So anything we say is, pardon my French, is bull. And now I'm going to have to mark this on iTunes as being not family friendly.
Not family friendly.
Yeah. But the idea on this is, you know, this may fly in the face of what you hear, you know, standard talk from whomever financial advisor. And I always, whenever anyone puts that back on me, I always look at them and say, ask your financial advisor if they lost all their clients, how long they could live. You know, how long can they live on their dollars, investing their dollars? Or if you gave them just a couple of dollars to start with, give them $5,000-$10,000. Could they turn it into something? And how long would it take them to turn it into something where we wouldn't have to work? And that to me tells me how qualified an advisor is. If you're listening to the first time, hit rewind and listen to that a couple of times. Let that message sink in. It sounds incredible.
Not to bash on advisors, but I think, you know, most of the times if you're an advisor, you're probably not really qualified.
There's a lot of them. There's some good ones out there. And for those of you that are listening, if you're the good ones, awesome. But you already know that you're in the minority.
Yeah,
most of the time they're not. Forgive the interruption. As I went back and was re-listening to the podcast that Lam and I had done, I noticed that we ran into some audio difficulties. And so I want to apologize for the next couple of minutes. I'm not sure why, but my voice started to get fainter and fainter and fainter. A superb audio engineer, I am not. That is not something that is on my resume. I did the best that I could in trying to use some editing software. But I just want to give you, the listener, a heads up. I know that my voice gets faint here for a couple of minutes. Again, I apologize. Tried to fix it. No need to send me a note and let me know that something went awry. I'm aware, but again, I did my best. The bottom line, the content is good. Thanks very much.
So, and when you say focus on investments, Chris, what do you suggest, or what are you talking about?
So I can't remember if we talked about it in the last episode or not. On the Facebook page, if you go take a look there, if you're not on Facebook, don't worry about it. For someone who wasn't on there for 20 years, you're not missing anything. But there was a great interview that, I don't know if we talked about this a lot in the last episode or not, but Shaq came, he was being interviewed at an investment conference. One of the CNBC talking heads interview guys said, hey, Shaq, you've done really well. What advice would you give young people? And Shaq said, hey, can I borrow a piece of paper? Let me show you. And so the guy handed him a sheet of paper, and Shaq said, you know, think of this as $100 or whatever amount of money you want it to be. And he tore it in half. He said, if you want to be comfortable when you get older, what you do is you take this half and you poke it away, you put it in an investment, long term, you don't touch it. He said, now you're left with $50 or 50% of what you got. And he ripped it in half again. And he said, this, if you want to be really wealthy, what the billionaires and the multi-hundred millionaires do is they take this half and they also invest it and they poke it away for the long term. And then what you do is you live on the remaining 25%. He goes, you buy whatever you want to buy, live how you want to live. And he said, that's how you get wealthy. And I would add to that and say, most people listening to this would go, what? I can't live on 25% of my salary. There's no way. And say, that's fine. Then what you do is you live on whatever small a percentage as you can get to, reduce your expenses as much as you can. Without going, you know, nutty about it, the ultimate reduction in expenses would be you live in a refrigerator box under the freeway off-ramp. Nobody wants to be there, not suggesting you do that. But you get them whatever reasonable means to you. And then what you do is you focus on growing the income. And that's what I mean by focus on the investments. So figure out how to get that income huge. We talked about in one of the earlier episodes, you don't focus on getting the income huge by, you know, hey, how can I get an additional 3 or 4 or 5% raise at my job?
Yeah.
If you think about the dollars that you've got poked away, even in your 401k, or dollars you've got poked away in a taxable cash account, if you can learn how to make that money grow, and you've got to move the money around to be able to do that. Once you see the returns that you can get off that, and then apply that, keep applying that and parlaying that growth, it blows away anything you could ever get in a raise from a job. And so the focus has always got to be on the investments, figuring how to make it grow. And that ultimately will then yield you a bigger income. And at that point, now you bump your lifestyle. So I don't know if that answered the question or not.
I think it starts with the education around what to do, right? As many people just, all right, let me just invest in stocks, or let me just put money in real estate, and you know, hope and pray that it'll go well.
Yeah, right? It's the how to think. You gotta know what you're doing, and it takes a while to learn that stuff. And whether you want to do it in real estate, stock market, sell stuff on Amazon, doesn't matter. It's the same basic concept that you have to apply on this. The other thing that crops up when people trying to reduce expenses, or you know, getting to the level of FIRE or to hitting that FIRE objective, is they don't save, right? They spend what they earn. So if they make $100 a week, they spend $100 a week, or $1,000 a week, or whatever the math is. And now they get a raise, and what do? They
spend more.
Exactly. They upgrade their living, so they might move into a bigger apartment. They might go finance a nicer car. If they get a bonus, they go take a trip, because now they can use the dollars for that. And that's nuts. The objective is to get to freedom. And if you got to make a couple sacrifices along the way, that's cool. Because once, I'm telling you, freedom, you've never tasted anything better than knowing when you go to bed at night, you don't have to get up in the morning at an alarm clock. Unless you've got a two-year-old, but that's your built-in alarm clock. But there's nothing pressing you. You get up when you want to. You do what you want, when you want, with whom you want. If you want to get up early, that's your choice. But you're not forced to. That is an incredible place to be. And you want to get there early in life.
Yeah, it's very hard to, once you have that time freedom, it's very hard to see not having it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then probably the last thing, I guess, to think about is on the focus on investing. So the FI part, or focus on the investments. I see it over and over and over again where people are afraid of the stock market. Chris and I understand the pro-con of real estate. I understand the pro-con of the stock market. When you go study the returns that are possible, there is no comparison. There is one avenue that is the most attractive. It's got volatility. And yeah, that may scare you at first. After you get to understand it, volatility becomes your friend. And it's what you're looking for. You can profit from that. But you got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, you got to spend some time there and have some experience. Right? So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to start.
Nope.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to do that. And what's interesting on all these things about FIRE is, you know, focus on the investment, focus on the investments, and reduce your expenses. None of this is rocket science. It's common sense stuff. But what's interesting and sad, it's not taught in school. And so when you hear the, you know, we'll point the finger at the millennials because that's the current generation that we can bash on. When you hear the discussion about that, you look at that and go, the reason their issue is what it is because financial education was not taught at an early age. If they had learned this young.
The opposite is taught.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. And so if you're listening to this episode, just so you know, you are in a very limited number of, a very small percentage of the world gets this, which is why there's such a very small percentage of the world that has wealth. It's not taught in school. It's not hard to join the club, I promise you. Chris, were you born with a silver spoon in your mouth? Nope. You're an immigrant. Hell, you're a refugee, right? Living in a refugee camp for a few years when you were really young. I'm the, you know, reading all the media, I guess I'm lucky because I'm white, right? And I'm lucky because I'm male and okay, all that stuff. So I didn't have to go through those same challenges. I wasn't born with a silver spoon. I was taught a good work ethic is where I'm very fortunate. And I won the lottery in the parent realm. I got a great set of parents. There's no competition on this path, which is, on the one hand, it's a little scary. You think, wait, I must not be doing it right because nobody is out here fighting me about it. And then once you realize the reason no one's fighting you about it is because nobody knows. It's really cool. You got to look around and go, how do people not see this? I don't get it. I'm like, okay, no problem.
Yeah, it goes back to what we talk about, how to think. And, you know, people aren't willing to put in that work early on and just have some delayed gratification. They want it now. They don't see things long term. It's like, if you just wait, or if you just kind of hold off a little bit, I promise you the reward is much better in the later years, or just, you know, just in the coming years, yep, right, than the reward that you see in front of you.
It's the, I mean, the story I used earlier where the guy came up and said, hey, you know, what do you think the market's going to do? They say it's going to do this. As we were having that discussion, he walked away, or one of us walked away, and one of the other parents there said something to me. He goes, hey, have you taken his class? And one goes, nah, don't need it. I'm not going to do that. Okay. Right. Like, no problem. It's, you know, it's one less body that's going to be on the path.
Yeah.
And what I almost said it, and I thought, no, that's really mean. I can point to people that are in their early 20s that are almost retired. Right? Now, granted, their living expenses are really lean, right? So they don't need a ton of money. But to be in their early 20s, right, and at the point where you can see, they can't see it, but and I've done this with enough people, I can see it. They're on their way. And it won't be very long at all before they're at quote-unquote freedom. Now, granted, they're not living the Beverly Hills lifestyle, but it doesn't matter because they're free. And once they get to that point of reaching freedom, now they focus on growing the income, and then they bump the lifestyle later.
Yeah, and then you still don't want to live in the Beverly Hills lifestyle.
There's no need, man. It's too expensive.
Yeah,
it's
more, you know, you find yourself, you don't become free when you do that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep, you're buying an anchor to put around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was, I didn't have the heart to say that, but man, it was, there's very few times where I have a filter, and there's a break between my brain and my mouth. That one was there. That, no, that's just, that's almost rubbing one's face in it. It's not going to get anywhere. I'm still getting, eventually I'll get them to come around, but who knows?
So I guess to the listeners, if you're listening to this, then applaud yourself that you're a small percentage of people that, you know, are kind of thinking in this area. Mm-hmm. And then for those who take action, you're even a smaller percentage, right? That's going to, you're going to see the results from it.
Action you could take. Easy thing to do is go to the website, investingfromthebeach.com. Up there, there's a book list. Click on the book list. Start with the first book. Just click on there. It'll take you to Amazon, buy the book. And just start reading and go through that list in order. And just start doing that. And you'll find I've had so many comments and compliments on that book list. And people said the book list itself is priceless. It really gets you to think. Your first time reading through that list, yeah, you'll kind of get it. I've had a number of people, in fact, and I saw this, and I think it was in the comments on the podcast under iTunes. Somebody made the comment and said, go through the book list once and then go through it again and do the exercises that the authors line out in that book list. Said there's a reason that, in his words, there's a reason that Hansen and Lamb have that book list out there. And once you take the time to go through that and step through those steps, you'll see changes in yourself. And that's part of the how to think. Any other words of brilliant wisdom there?
No other.
So let's see. So the takeaway on this, I'm on a one-man mission to change the acronym for FIRE. It's focus on investments, reduce your expenses. That can get you to be financially independent so you can retire early. And they really should call it TIRE, so you can be time independent to retire early. So FIRE gets you to TIRE, but that doesn't sound good. It sounds like you're worn out, so maybe we'll have to go FIRE leads to FIRE. But that's the whole idea behind that. If you have thoughts or comments for us, by all means, please leave us a message. Send us an email at investingfromthebeach@gmail.com. If you prefer to do it on voice, that's fine. Number 747-24-BEACH. It's 747-242-3224. And as always, we know through personal experience for each of us individually, as well as what we have seen others do, if you will apply what we've talked about in this episode, in prior episodes, and in upcoming episodes, you too can get to the point where you've got time freedom. Time freedom is signified to us by being able to go to the beach on a day when nobody else is there. As an example, I was at the beach earlier today. It was a Sunday night at about 5 o'clock, and the place was jammed. This is Huntington Beach, California. And not that that's a bad thing, but when I go on a Tuesday, there's nobody there. And I promise you that the waves on a Tuesday sound so much different than the waves that you hear on a weekend when you have to share that noise with everybody else. It is our hope and our belief and our hope that you will adhere to what we say or take what we say and apply it. And you too will be able to get to the point where all you have to listen to, and all you want to listen to are Waves on a Tuesday. As always, we appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Take care.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, W, V. T, W, V. T-U-V-W-X-Y-Z. Yeah. I only know in song now, man. You can tell them that's what happens when you have too much time freedom. You forget your alphabets.